Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we have this special privilege in this late hour of being in your presence because you have presented yourself. And we beheld you, Lord, and know the truth according to the word, which is your own word, and we are grateful for it. It's certainly bypassed our minds, and certainly at this point, many things are not too bright as we try to understand, but we know that you give light as we need it to walk in this dark age. So we're grateful this morning that we can know for the truth and walk in the light as you are in the light, as you give us that light, and we have fellowship one with another, and thereby the blood cleansing, making a bride perfect, garments washed and ready for the tree of life. We thank you for that. Now as we further wait on you in the service, the ministry word, may every heart be united in faith and glorify your great and holy name as we go onward. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we get into the principles of truth we're looking at, of which number one, or the one we're looking at particularly, is the principle of divine communication, I might just mention to you concerning prayer for the sick that we don't go by feelings, we go by faith, and yet there is a certain element of feeling when you're dealing with people who are sick. First of all, you're sympathetic with them, and sometimes some of those things loom so big that you think, oh my, have we seen any of this done before, or so little of it done, what can we really believe? But since I don't discern, and I'm not supposed to, and I couldn't if I tried anyway, it wouldn't do any good, what I look at mostly is, which was this morning in particular, that when you pray for anything, you not only just believe, but you dispose of it by putting it in the hands of the Lord, which means that as you pray for each individual, it depends on how quickly and how thoroughly you can just put that in the hands of the Lord and know they're in His hands. Well, that's what the prayer line was like this morning, and I believe that there'll be many testimonies you'll find that the Lord has really done something for you, to you, and within you. I can't believe that this message, which is our healing, merely heals us physically. I believe it's like John said, I wish above all else that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we're looking then for a spiritual impetus in your lives as well as the physical. Now, I've got to kind of go back over my notes because I'm not going to be able to go to Matthew 24 without a bit of a review. And so we started last night concerning this principle of divine communication, that what we are trying to do is come to an understanding of the rules or identifying characteristics that help us to know it is actually God who is giving us His Word, not just simply accepting or taking and receiving some dissertation or philosophy or way of life as being from God. Now, you might not know, but Mary Baker Eddy was a prophetess to the Christian Science Church, and she was mentally bankrupt. She tried to burn her neighbor's house down and consequently her neighbor with it. It is understood Muhammad, the prophet of the false god Allah, was a schizophrenic. Of course, the homos will try to tell you Jesus was homosexual because he never got married. But the fact of the matter is, if there is a God, and there certainly has to be something because people, by their very nature, are responding to something outside of themselves which is greater, there aren't many actual atheists. That was proven by Russia. There are very few atheists. Anyway, the Bible just says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, and that's the only comment God makes about the fellows. You can tell how God holds him. Because Paul said you can see there's a God by nature. And that is true. It is not that people do not believe in God. It's simply they deny it on the grounds that they don't want one. And so they think if they can put it out of their minds and find something to take the place of God, then that makes it easier on them. Which is true, it does. Makes it easier to go to hell. You know, if you want to grease the skids, that's a good way to grease the skids. Now, they're in their folly. But so many things are supposed to be from God. Now, is there really a way to know the true God as distinct from whatever else might purport to be God or to speak for God? Now, we being what they loosely term Judeo-Christians, and remember, a Jew is a Christian because Christ is the anointed, which means Messiah. And so you can call a Jew a Christian, same as you can call us Christians. We just have different viewpoints. But as they look for Messiah, we believe he came and he's coming again. Now, they said he never came and he's going to come. So our sights are zeroed in to that degree. And you know that Israel, by virtue of being 2,000 years outside the homeland and surviving various pogroms, and now back in the homeland attempting to establish what they believe is an absolute relationship with God, you have to know that something vital must have happened at some time to come down through all these ages. And the answer is prophet. God in the prophet, and the prophet speaking to the fathers, bringing them the word. And that word that the prophets bring are the absolute precepts. In other words, they are unalterable. They are written in stone with a steel pen. And the precepts, or truth, whatever you want to call them, the Word of God, have been vindicated to the people by the prophets. See? Now, those prophets, as Moses, had a confrontation with God that they didn't ask for. Now, that's the first thing you want to realize. A prophet is a very unique person. He doesn't know he's a prophet. He has his movings and his strange things going on about him. But he doesn't know he's a prophet. He doesn't want to be a prophet. And he doesn't know how to get to God. God comes to him the same as God comes to each of us individuals. Because there is none that seeketh after God. The sheep lost are lost, and they wouldn't know how to find the shepherd. It is God who is not lost. It is the children who are lost, and God knows where they are, and he confronts them. So he confronts the prophet. In other words, God vindicates himself to the prophet, and he's got to do it supernaturally. Then he's got to vindicate the prophets to the people. And then when the prophets are thoroughly vindicated, then the man can speak. And until that time, he cannot speak because his words aren't worth a plug nickel. Now, Jesus came on the scene doing and teaching. Now, the people knew that he had something going for him. But they wanted to tell him what to do as a sign so they would accept him, which is 100% offbeat. Moses and no prophet ever came and said, "Well, what would you people like for a sign?" Not once. God gave the signs. They presented the signs. which were irrefutable, giving them the right to speak, which gave them a superiority. So once they were vindicated, they could not be judged as to what they said. Because to judge a prophet is to judge God. And you become a judge of the word, you're finished. Because you're saying, well, hallelujah, my philosophy is just as good as this vindicated thing. And they're doing it all over the world. You remember the sermon I preached on Friday night in Toronto? Don't you ever forget it and play it again. And you'll understand why Brother Brown says, they know better. You bet they know better. All right. Now, there has to come a time, finally, if there is going to be a record which deals to a consummation, if there is a consummation. Now, there doesn't have to be a complete and final consummation, as though there's nothing beyond the New Jerusalem. We don't know. But the record in this book absolutely can be relied upon because of the vindication of the prophets who wrote it. You don't have to worry about it. So, there comes a time when the book or the precepts that come from God have to be finished, as it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, there's coming a day when all those parts will all be over. Because the Bible was written in parts by a large number of prophets, 66 books, 39 and 27, and I forget just how many prophets there were that Moses wrote the first five and then on down the line. And you see that this book here absolutely must contain not just the history, but must contain the true precepts of God. And this book does contain them. And remember, it's all been vindicated. See, that's why the Israelites go back to Moses and the Red Sea and everything like that, the brazen serpent, they go right back there, and they say, listen, it's factual. When Moses wrote the history, they said, it's factual. When Brother Branham came on the scene and wrote the history, they said, well, it isn't factual. But you see, they said the same thing about Moses when he was there. Some of them did. They said the same thing about Jesus. It's not factual. But listen, when there's vindication, it is factual. And this is where the rest comes in. This is where the striving ceases. This is under the seventh seal, if you'll only take it. It's vindicated. So don't let your mind go boing, boing, boing like a pinball machine, and your eyes light up, and you wonder about this, and you wonder about that. You say, forget it. That's not vindicated. This is vindicated. See? Just like if you women, your husband, decide he'd bring home some floozy, you just meet her there with the cleaver. Meat cleaver. It does more damage than a shotgun. That just kills him right now. Chew him up a bit. Look, I'm the wife. And just go with your teeth and them. That's what you do with this outside word out here. You don't question it. Get out of my house! Apostle Paul said, you get them out of your mind. Count of it dumb. Bible speaks of vomit. We got more dung eaters and vomit eaters. You can shake a stick at. Be vicious. Be vengeful. Follow in the Master's footsteps. Because he's coming to avenge his own and take vengeance on those in disbelief. He's going to have some milksop bride around. Can't stand for the word. Hey, listen, you should know what vindication is. Vindication is vindication. It's over. Caught the guy red-handed murdering the fella. Money won't buy him off. This judge and this jury is not some bunch of goof-offs. Oh, well, you know, he has a reason to do it. Hogwash. Don't get your love mixed up with some junk out there that's worldly filth and say you're a Christian. Until we hate sin with a vengeance, there's no chance of him coming in the flesh. Till we sigh and cry against it. And it's vindication that gives you the feet to stand on. Right. Now, hence we've been provided with the book of communication containing all that God has to say, and he said it because in more than one place it says, don't you even dare add a word. 3 times it says it, Moses, Paul, and John. And William Branham came and pronounced it the 4th time, and the number 4 is deliverance. Vindication. The word is complete. You can't add or can't take a word. And the 7th church age, he said, I am the God of the Amen. Thus it is, thus it will be. It can never change. And now it's just about all over. Now, since God has had his say through the prophets, and the prophets wrote it in a book, it would seem inevitable that the only thing any person has to do is to read it, and he has gained the knowledge of God. And consequently, when all men have read, all men have gained the knowledge and wisdom of God, like it says in Ephesians, and thus surely God's kingdom has now potentially come to earth and will soon be in its fullness, because men now have the laws which are government. Right. What is your government? Your government is based upon the institution of laws that are supposed to be of help to the people, so that government only has one real necessity, is to establish courts of law. And the government is messed worse than Hogan's goat, and there's no way out. There's only one thing to save America, that's the atomic bomb. God burn the whole thing over and bring back the real Americans. Only they won't be real Americans, they're real Christians. Yeah, let's face it. See, because you cannot have God's government on earth without God's word. Today you have the devil's word, which is God's word perverted and purported to be the government of Almighty God, and the church has fallen for it. Oh, don't you understand what I'm saying? If the word is restored, we are the potential government of God upon this earth, and the kingdom of God is here. And it's full potential. See, now, the surprising and baffling thing is that in spite of the documented truth open and available, which has all been vindicated, available to us, all there has never been a people who could actually understand it and in unison, that is a body of people, solitarily, nobody else outside the realm now, in unison proceed with an unadulterated revelation and thereby institute God's kingdom on earth via the word of his kingdom, or as it says in the disciples' prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The coming of God's kingdom is his will being done on earth, which is his word in supremacy. How he took them and wanted to take them out of Egypt into Canaan's land, and he said, what is it, he said? Now I'll find it here, I think. Sometimes my mind can work. You better pray that it does, or I'm going to get you the wrong passages here. That's not it. I thought it was around Deuteronomy 6. Not on the fight. Anyway, sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. This is the one time I can't. Oh, yes. It's the 4th chapter. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither diminish from it, that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God which I command you. Now you will notice here, write what he's saying to you. Now, first of all, it sounds like, hey, we're in a bind. Yep, we got a bind here because, tell you what, we're supposed to get these statutes and live by them, and boy, that's a toughie. Now, what does he say down here? Evidently, the tough thing is not the Word of God. It's what people do with the Word of God. Did you get what I said? The Word of God in itself is not tough. Now, this is my mistake. This is your mistake. So let's be honest this morning and repent. Because I've been thinking for a long time to call the whole church repentance and not confess your sins. You tried that here, I'll boot you out the door. I'm not interested in your private sin and your private battles. Forget it. They have no place in the church. Take them to where they belong, which is outside the door to somebody else. When I'm talking about repentance, I'm talking about an absolute change of mind, which I've been preaching for many years now, because repentance is a change of mind. And our minds make us think the Word of God is difficult, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's what people do with it. The adulteration is the killer, taking from it or adding to it. Now you say, why is that so? Because the life of the Word is in the Word, the conduit of the Holy Spirit is the Word, and if we pile word upon word, then His life is living in us, and we're afraid of it. Too many of you younger people, especially, you're afraid you're going to give up a good time. And some of you are afraid you might have to give up your jobs. And some women are afraid they might have to take the spit out of their skirts and bring their hemlines down. I watch you women. You think I'm blind? And some of the meek and sweet of you got to keep dragging at your skirts to get them in your... Merciful God! The prettiest women in the world are dressed in longer garments. I'm not mad at women. You know I love you. You're not one woman here can... Put a finger on me as against my life toward yours in chastity and love and trying to help you. But you don't respond. And I get angry with you. Don't think I'd tell my wife off. You bet your sweet life she'd get told off and told off good. I told her more than once. Somebody's going to change. Ain't me. You're wrong. Doesn't make me right. I'm not pitting one against another. Listen. It says here, don't you diminish it. When you start taking away, you take away life. When you begin adding, you put an intruder in there. Now you're not dealing with God. How can the church say they're dealing with God when they add to the Word? Because there's a life in the Word that they add to. And it's a satanic Word. There's where you get your knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because knowledge of good and evil signifies a light. And don't you know we're called seeds, not sperma, although that's true, we are humanly, but we're spora, which relates us to nature as seed, plants. Okay, you understand what I'm saying now? You can't add or take. Now watch, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. Now, that was a fertility rite convention, which is adultery, which is typical and types idolatry. Now, remember that Balaam was a prophet of such magnitude that he was known for the accuracy of his prophecies and no doubt of his ability to perform acts of wonders, the same as Jannes and Jambres. But notice that Jannes and Jambres never threw down their rod until after Moses threw down his rod. Now, but you did cleave unto the Lord your God and are alive every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation. Now you say, hey, I wish I could be as wise as God. Read your Bibles. For this is the wisdom of God, and it becomes yours and mine. See, we just don't believe Brother Branham as we should have believed him. Word, word, word. Oh, they got so fed up with it. And guy, this hair-brained bird beetle idiot from around Chicago. He went to Europe and all around. And the idea is, oh, he said, I hate being called in the message. Well, if you're not in the message, get out of here. You're not going to get anything from my preaching. No way. Go someplace where they can help you. Oh, you can have a good dinner with us. I'll feed your bellies. I can't do anything for you otherwise. Because you want the wisdom of God, this is it. You ought to be wise like God. That's what Satan said. Be wise like God. And he gave him another word. Then if the spirit of wisdom comes into the church, it's the revelatory power of God by the Holy Spirit based on this word that's going to get us out of here. Word, 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 word. Nobody can drive it into you either. It's going to be God showing you. Now watch what it says. It says, which you'll hear all these now. Keep them therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. In other words, this is your sanctification. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. In other words, this nation was thoroughly and perfectly sanctified by the word of God which was given them. Now listen to me. It was a gift given, proven. They had it. That sanctified them, and nothing else did. You say, oh, Brother Bear, what about the blood? They only came out under the blood. The multitude died. The rest didn't win because of unbelief. So you see, if you walk in the light as he's like, you fellowship, and the blood cleanses, but doesn't cleanse otherwise. Now let's keep going. Surely there have been the people will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great that hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? In other words, he said, the word that was vindicated to you, when you become thoroughly sanctified by it, understand the principles of vindication, which the people did not understand, but Moses alone understood. It said, listen here, what is he telling you? Is he saying the nations are going to come by and say, oh, hallelujah, those people have a wonderful word? They've never, ever said that. They said, those bunch of idiots. They said the same thing. What am I trying to get across to you? The same God that vindicated the word, proved it was word, is amongst his people doing the things that the people want to have done. But they neglect the word, and the word of God tells you, when you turn away your ear from hearing God's precepts, he turns away from your prayers. Let you know right well when the message is not healing enough, it's because we're not sold on it. Let's be honest. I don't care what the world says. Have nothing on me and I got nothing on them. The Bible says, I got nothing in Paul said, he got nothing in the world. Jesus said the same thing. Neither do you and I have. But the point is this. If God is going to live amongst his people, he's going to do it on one specific grounds, and that is the word. Now listen, what is the word for this hour? Going to the tree of life and living forever. So God's word has a sanctifying effect. And the sanctifying effect, Brother Branham said, was in Matthew 24, where they were separated one from the other by the word. Now remember, Israel is not numbered amongst the nations. Neither are we numbered amongst the churches. Now, if you don't think a squeeze is coming, why does Brother Branham say one day they'll close the church doors and keep us out and stop us worshiping as far as they know? We haven't had any squeeze yet, but you better get prepared for it. And there's only one way to get prepared, and that is by this word, this word, this word. And you cannot understand this word unless you know the doctrine.
And Brother Branham came and brought us the doctrine. He said that what the bride is waiting for now is the revelation of the rapture. And he preached it in December 4th, 1965 in Yuma, Arizona. He couldn't cross into California because it's going down and it's a graveyard of preachers. Now, was that the short, quick message that came out of the West? I haven't got the answer. All I know is I don't need the answer. If I got the Word of God, listen to the prophet, because of the vindication, I can find everything I need in here, because he already said it for this hour. So, thy will be done on earth. How do you know the will of God? It's the revealed Word of God. Now, a little baby crying. You know what that little baby wants. All it can do is cry. You've got to guess at it. You got to draw on your own experiences. You got to fiddle around and see, well, is the diaper too tight? What is the baby crying about? Is he hungry? Is it this? Is it that? You're guessing at it. But today the guesswork is gone. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And remember, he's Rhema Logos. This is just Bible in print. See? Word in print. That one was a word in flesh. Now, there are two major reasons why mankind can't get outside of his own cosmos order and enter into God's kingdom or God's own cosmos order. Now remember, everything you see out here is original cosmos, and God owned it all and let Adam and Eve rule over it, so therefore it was exactly as God wanted it. Then they gave over by sin. So now God's going to get this cosmos all back in the proper, perfect order, and it's going to be under the Word. So therefore, without the renewing of the revelation of the Word, or the restoration of the Word, all that the prophets said, there cannot be a new world order. That's why there's a message brought. And the Word in its purity has been returned to the time of Paul, which the believers that have gone over are resting upon it, because he said, my testimony in that day, which is the coming of Christ with his mighty angels, he said, will be believed by that generation. Now, without us, there cannot be a resurrection. Without the Word, we're nothing. Now, that's plain and short. You can't change it. All right, number one, there are some people that in plain language were born without the ability to ever apprehend the Word of God. Jesus said you don't have what's needed inside of you for the Word. There's nothing in there like a magnet to attract it. In plain English, there is no seed amongst the ones to whom he was speaking. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, Abraham's children, according to what the flesh. But he said, you are not like Abraham, because Abraham recognized me and you don't recognize. And yet you know better, because you understand the precepts of the giving of the Word. God in the prophets. And the prophets doing that which vindicates them that they are of God, so that the Word must be of God, and therefore you're now safe and secure. Most people don't believe the Word of God makes you safe and secure. They think, oh, this is a burden. Hey, what's coming next? Oh, God, I can't live it. Oh, God, oh, shut up. Go back to the beginning. Where do you find anything that wasn't perfection? And God said, let there be light. Show me what's better than light. And God said, let the water separate. Show me better than that. Let the dry earth bring forth. Let this, let that. Show me better than that. Show me where God lied when he saw everything was good. Now, when did he become rotten? When they changed one word. Nothing wrong with the Word of God. It's life-giving, it's wonderful, it's marvelous. We let our brains come in there, go round and round like a whirligig or some circus or King's Island merry-go-round. See? These people Christ spoke to were not a part of God's kingdom because they didn't have a thing to do with the Word. Number two, the Word of God cannot even be revealed to a person who has a place for the Word and a desire for the Word until God wants to reveal it. What about the revelation of the rapture? The events in it. Shout, voice, trumpet. People guess and guess and guess and hear the beautiful song, how great art when thou shalt come, with shout of acclamation, like a big cry. Oh, hogwash. He doesn't lift his voice in the street. Boy, they missed that one a million miles. You say, hey, are you talking as though you did? Oh, I missed it 20 million miles. Except for the grace of God, I would have said, forget it, Brother Branham. This is pooey, forget it. When he said the message, the shot was the message, I said, oh, forget it. But I knew he was right. Vindication. The only reason I knew he had to be right. When was he wrong? When did he ever foretell a thing didn't come to pass hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times? When was he not vindicated? How can I just believe the pillar of fire within him? Well, I had to believe it. It had to be the shout. It had to be the message. After years of study, I found out that's exactly what the crucifix is, of putting the church in order. I didn't realize that 1 Thessalonians 4:16 was all over 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at the presence of Christ. But it's there. See? Now, third, the originally revealed word by Paul to the people, which word was broken down to the people so that the elect had a true word truly revealed. See, that's the idea. A true word truly revealed was changed by unscrupulous men who could make more money from bigger crowds and have a bigger church and a bigger name. And you find them over there in the Acts, the 20th chapter, and all through the Bible. And the condition worsens that it comes down to this hour. Renan has told us. They're rich and miserable, blind, and naked, and think they're rich and wonderful, and everything is great. In other words, they think they're the wheat and they're the chaff. How'd you like to come in that position? How'd you like to wake up some morning and find you're fit for burning? That's all you're going to do is burn. I want to ask a question. Who's doing the separating? His fan is in his hand, and when the fan is in the hand, there's a breeze. Is that right? The fan in the hand is a breeze. He's separating. Is that right? Okay, let's find out if you really believe. We go to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. And there Peter is talking, and he said, repent therefore and be converted. Your sin may blot it out. But they didn't. And it says, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, that the presence of God himself being there will cause a breath of air, a blowing, Spirit of God moving. And the moving of the Spirit of God is going to cause a separation. Now, what was the separation back in the days of Jesus when he did the miracles vindicating he was a prophet? They said, this is of the devil. Blaspheme right there. And they never got over it. Neither will the blasphemy of this hour be gotten over it. And notice the attack is getting vicious upon Brother Branham. For almost 20 solid years, there was no vicious attack. Now there's a very vicious attack. Especially since flusing big mouth women are writing their books. Why don't women stay home where they belong? I'm not against women working at all. Brother Branham said they had to do a job at certain times. But my God, don't they understand that there's a difference between the sexes? And God is not a female. I don't care if you call him El Shaddai. Doesn't mean he's got breasts and he's exuding milk like a woman. They say a man could have a baby. I'd like to see that. Has a man got milk veins? Listen, this world's screwed up like Hogan's goat. It's crazier than God knows what. And I'm not a part of it. If you want it, you can have it. Be my guest. Just don't come around me. Can't stand the smell of skunks, especially those that are already rotting in death. Now remember, 2,000 years of constant regression, consummates in idolatry. And this idolatry is not the repudiation of God and His kingdom and His worship, but it's Christianity perverted by lack of a true spiritual revelation. I read it last night. And Revelation 18:4 comes to pass at the time of Revelation 22:10 when the book is open. We have Revelation 22:11-15 where the unrighteous are completely unrighteous and the holy are completely holy, and somebody's going to go to the tree of life. And you better believe, brother, sister, those who go to the tree of life having washed their robes, and the washing of the robes is in Ephesians 5. The washing of water by the word, sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. And you go in by being sanctified by the word. What message is going to take you in? A message has got to take you in. Come on, it types.
Oh, brother, sister, don't you let your guard down these days. You'll get swallowed so fast. Yeah? Well, that's the way it is. Now, it is no longer, therefore, John 3:16 that avails. It never did. It never did, but God let him get by. Because it tells you in John 3:16 and 17, go right down the line, is that this is a condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It tells you that the blood of Jesus Christ does not avail if you turn down the word. So therefore, if you're going to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, you are not going to claim the blood doing it. The blood has already done its work and opened the door for the Holy Spirit to come through the word. So therefore, your growth this hour is by the word, as Brother Branham preached, spiritual food in due season. What does due mean? It means it's now current. So the spiritual food in due season that man preached positively was a vindicated prophet with a vindicated word. God vindicated in the midst of the people. So there's a harvest now where we're all one. And we are. Now before we move on, having seen the bride in Revelation 18:4, and she's got to come out of that mess, you can see in Matthew 24 concerning God's admonition for this hour. So let's take a look at it, and let's take a look at Matthew 24. I believe the way it is written is the way it's meant to be understood. Because Brother Branham said, don't try to change anything. He said it's written the way it should be. We know that. Now, you notice in here verses 1 to 3, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said concerning the temple, do you see all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, he left the temple site. The disciples came to him privately asking, saying, tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy presence and the end of the world? And everybody wants that word coming because they don't understand there was to be a presence. That is the great mystery of the appearing. Appearing and coming are two different words entirely. And the appearing is couched. When people don't understand it, it's couched in that mysterious word called parousia. Which everybody hates except us. Well, I'm sorry, but it's there in the Bible. I'm not sorry, thank God. Now, verse 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And also, 24 to 28. There shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as were possible that shall see the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, he's in the desert, going out forth, in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning comes out of the east sides, which shows, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, we want us to notice real carefully here that we are in danger of not getting the truth if we don't look at the Scripture the way it is actually written. The disciples have asked three questions. When's the temple going to be ripped down? And he says here, when are these, what will be the sign of your presence, and what will be the end of the world, the consummation of the world government? When are those three things going to happen? When is the temple going to be destroyed? What's the sign of the parousia, which is the presence, the correct presence is found, as we already said, in Thessalonians. What are the signs of your parousia, your presence? And what are the end of the world systems and consequently the kingdom of your presence coming in power? Now they understood there'd be a presence there. And they understood that from what he said in the book of Luke, I believe the 17th chapter. Now then, the parousia question is the main one and the truly misunderstood one. Now the question, that question that was asked, what is the sign of your parousia? What is the sign of your being there? Now remember, Jesus was there. And nobody recognized him in spite of the fact of the wise men, the angels, and Herod's destruction of the babies and so on. They just turned it all down. Now he said, and Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. So therefore, at the time of the presence, deception is rampant. And if there ever was a time you could be deceived, it's the time that Jesus is there.
Now, if you can't understand that, go back to the Garden of Eden. Who was consorting with Adam and Eve? God was. Who stepped in the garden? Satan, the Bible says, in I think it's Isaiah, or maybe it's Ezekiel, one of the two places, 14, Isaiah 20 of Ezekiel. He said, thou wast in Eden. So Satan was in Eden. And what did he do? He deceived Eve. The Bible said she was deceived. It says that Adam was not deceived. Right? The Bible says so in Timothy. So, all right. Now then, he's telling you, right here, deception is the clue to the presence. Now watch what he says. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, they're telling you that this, they are the anointed ones in contradistinction to the truly anointed one. Which means, if you are going to talk about Christ, and these people in the same breath, you are going to have to elevate the Christ above everybody else by reason of what he does. Because he said, if I had not done what no other man did, they have not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. That's one of the strong scriptures that Brother Branham used in John 15. He didn't mind, the funny thing is, you watch, he didn't quote it. He just said where it was. You look at go get the sermons. Now then, what you will find here then is this, that the men of lesser stature are going to come against the one who has the stature. And if you don't see that in Moses with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and you don't see that in Jesus with the people around him, the scribes and Pharisees and all the rest, then you're blind. If you don't see that in the life of the Apostle Paul, you have missed it. You don't read your Bibles right. And if you couldn't see it in William Branham's ministry, let me just say one thing. You never ever saw him, which maybe you didn't. And I'm sorry for you. That doesn't mean you're going to lose out. It just means I want you to know that historians until recently said his ministry came the closest to Jesus Christ. And in 2,000 years, they had seen nothing like it. And now, like a pit bulldog straight from hell. And what's a pit bulldog? A hybrid. Those are stinking hybrids. So let's not get too footsie with junk. Now notice. 23, if any man say, lo, here is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch possible as these men. In other words, they're going to pick you away from what's real. They're going to try to pull you in and say, hey, man, I got something, look at me. Behold, I told you before. Where did he tell that? In Matthew 7. About the false prophets. Wolves in sheep clothing. Can't lay a finger on their lives. Got signs, wonders, and miracles. Talk about Jesus. Talk about heaven. Talk about God. Oh, man, preach like a house of fire. Draw the net. Bring in thousands just like and say, hallelujah, all going to heaven. The calf gets burnt. Oh, you don't believe that. You're too nice. I'm not telling you honest to God's truth, you don't believe it. You know why? I have a hard time myself. You know why? Because it makes me think I'm somebody. Or I'm the guy that's doing it. Or these poor people nicer than me. I know what you're like. Because I'm like you. We're all like. We're human beings. Suckers for the devil. Sure, they believe the proofs up there now where the bunch in Canada finally believed. But it was my spirit that was wrong. How come they don't get to the truth? It wasn't my spirit at all. It was Terry's. I wasn't the guy that opened the war with cannons. Every church I went to preach the presence of God, I say to the pastor, I can prove it, I make phone calls right now, you call my bluff, kid. I know their names got their phone numbers. And I said, I'm going to teach something. You don't have to believe it. Quietly preach the presence. I've had them fall in my car, break down weeping, and say, Brother Vale, I know you're right. I couldn't put it in words, but it's exactly what is right. Where are they today? Old E. Vale got a wrong spirit. Terry's the guy that made the challenge and really brought out the spirit. When Christ laid down the gauntlet, who rose up to crucify him? If there's not a challenge in this message, forget it! It's the same dead old junk they've been preaching for years, which this message isn't. This message alone has life. For as lightning cometh out, lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west. Even so shall also the coming, the presence of the Son of Man be. Wherever the carcass is, the eagles gather together. And immediately comes the tribulation. All right. Now, categorically, these verses set forth the presence of Christ. That shows you that Christ is surrounded by a major company of false prophets. Now, just a minute. We'll get to what a false prophet really is later on. You know, but we'll get to it again. But a major company surround him. Notice how they claim to be anointed. They cry aloud and present their Christ. But true Christ does not cry aloud. It tells you in Matthew 12, he doesn't cry aloud. But he comes in your presence, bringing you into his presence by the breaking of the light, which is the same light that rose in the east, is now in the west and setting in the west. And don't believe it's gone back to Europe because of that German hypocrite. Do you want to know what Europe is like? Why don't you read some of the things you hear Dr. Dobson? Australia boasted itself a while ago, tracing their genealogy to all the criminals sent over by England. But today, not even 2% believe in Jesus Christ. And pornography, child pornography, is available even to children so they can be sadistic from birth. And in Sweden, you can't whip your own kids. They can turn you in. And the father can have licentious intercourse with his daughter, and it's perfectly legal. I'm retelling you what I read and what I know. That's the light that's in Europe. That spells what they are in their interior. Not everyone. Well, let's get this flat. That's where the Roman Empire was. The bind that came over here is only because the white people came over here from Europe. You trace your ancestry back right to all the tribes over there in Europe, which are under Rome. But there comes a time when it's even greater, when it takes the whole world over. You talk about rot. See? All right. They're crying aloud. They turn down the truth. The presence of the Son of Man is laid out in Luke 17, 20 to 30, is that spirit which is told up to us in Ephesians 1 and verse 17 to 23. Question is, who's doing the teaching in Europe? Now I ask you a question. Who is this Son of Man? Who is this Jesus? This Christ that is to be revealed. The answer is very simple. He's the one that Paul met on the road to Damascus, and his brother Branham said he turned back to a pillar of fire. He's the same one that Paul preached in Acts 22:68. He's the same one that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 11:2-4. The bridegroom to which a bride was espoused. He's the same one in Revelation 3:20 knocking at the door. He's the same one that comes down in 2 Thessalonians and is present in the 2 chapter 1-14 where you see two spirits. One is Christ and one is Antichrist. One is the spirit of truth and one is the lie. This is the same one in Malachi 4:1-6. Who comes through the ministry of Elijah. It reveals Matthew 17:1-13, which of course you understand is where the transfiguration took place, and Christ said Elijah would truly come and restore, though all things would be restored, and we find that in Luke 17. You can read these for yourself because you're familiar with them. And if you haven't seen it yet perfectly, let's go all the way back to Moses. There we see God in a pillar of fire. That is actually Jesus according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because Paul said that rock, that fire, that cloud that followed them was Christ. It was a manifestation 100% from the spiritual, which is invisible, to the physical, which is visible, but can be manifested. And this is the same Jesus we mentioned that Paul saw on the Damascus Road. And that is the same today, for it cannot be otherwise. There is no way you can change it. Now, with all this groundwork, we'll finally drop back to our thought of communication, or the truth in principle. First, the truth is, whether anyone will believe it or not, God must send Elijah before the rapture and the second coming. I read it to you in Acts, the 3rd chapter, and people look at it and they go their way. They will admit there is something there, but they will not admit to anything definitive. And so you look at the 3rd chapter, and Peter is preaching after Pentecost, and he says, Israel, you better repent, change your mind. And then he says, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God, it will come. Even he, God, shall send Jesus Christ, which was before appointed unto you. The word is not preached. He was more than preached. He was appointed. It says, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You can understand right here now that something is preventing Jesus Christ from coming in the flesh physically to take over the earth. No matter what happens, there has to be the restoration of that word. Now, people don't even want to admit that the word needs restoring. It's like this fellow Laurie came from India. Well, he said, you Americans, he said, God, Brother Branham had to take you back to the Bible. But he said, in India, we always had the Bible. Well, he had, oh boy, oh boy. He's the guy that became Son of Man on Moon Day. Moonwalk. Moon landing day. Then he ended up with all the bunk and baloney you could ever hear from anybody. Hindu, claptrap, and balderdash. Figments of men's imagination. He took them right into heathenism. Until poor Brother Dale's daughter, having left her husband, come back with an Indian name. You can change your name to Hoot Magandhi and anything else. Ain't going to think for you. You go to hell, just a little more bells on. They'll just call your name twice and give you twice the load. It's the truth. You're not going to get away with your folly and your stupidity. I can tell you, God will laugh you in derision. The Bible says he will. Now listen. He is that one. There has to be one coming. And Jesus himself admitted that the one that brings restoration, which is what that word actually is, restoration, and that's the apokatastosis, whatever that is. John, you may know a little Greek. But the fact of the matter is, when you get that word in there, you know you're getting very close to the word apocalypse. In other words, there's a revelation coming. There's a restored word. And that's the only thing that is literally going to bring Jesus Christ back to this earth. Now, let's understand this. The restored word cannot mean one single solitary thing to Jesus, because he is the word and he never changes. So it has to come to us. It has to come to the people that he is going to come to get out of here and bring back. And that's the only people that can be as the end time ones that walk to the tree of life and enter into immortality. And it says concerning it, it is Revelation 22 and 10. The book that was closed in Revelation 10 and 4 is now opened and cannot be closed. And at that time, when that book is open, the righteous are righteous, the unholy are unholy, and so on. And the gathering to New Jerusalem is complete. For without side are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and those that love a lie. You can't change the word of God. All right. The truth is, God must send Elijah, because he's the one to do the restoring. Now, how does God bring the prophet on the scene for the elect's sake? The Bible has an irrevocable principle in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter, we've been at many, many times. In verse 20, well, up above it says, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up, and so on. And then down in verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoke presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now he tells you, before the prophet can even begin to bring you what is called the word of God, he has to be vindicated. He has to be vindicated. Now, there's another special prophet, though. And he's over here in Numbers 12. Now let's look at him. And it says here, God comes down to the tabernacle, verse 6, Numbers 12. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so. He's got another category. He is above dreams and visions. Watch. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. I will make myself absolutely visible to him, and he will not need a vision. He will not need a dream. He won't need that. I'll be right there talking to him, and he will see what can be seen of me, which is called a theophany. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, the form, visible. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now there's a little trap in here, a little leeway. He said, if somebody comes with a dream and a vision, that prophet, he said, is not to be respected like the prophet with the pillar of fire. Now the Apostle Paul had the same thing happen to him. And William Branham, by virtue of science, now you can turn that down and say anything they want, but it's still there. Hallelujah. By virtue of science, said absolutely, and he's got right on a tape, which was meant for me. And in there he said, you know, Lee, we haven't had a prophet like Moses who spoke mouth to mouth with God since the time of the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago till now. William Branham placed himself categorically with two other men in the Bible. Now I know right away someone would say he hasn't got a right to do. Why don't you shut up? And don't bother staying for dinner. I just took the invitation back. I'm forbidden to speak with, to sit with people at dinner like that to call themselves brothers. That's right. I know, just not you here. These tapes go out. You hear some question and answer someday, and you know why I say these things. Yeah. If I thought you were doing it, why take you down to a greasy spoon and hope you get worse than indigestion, maybe ptomaine poisoning? Not even come back. I'm trying to get to you this morning. Do you understand vindication? Do you understand the magnitude of this prophet? Do you understand that you're dealing with a man who talked face to face with God and proved it? So that if there's ever going to be a kingdom on earth established, it's going to be this way. See? Can't be any other way. Because Rhema Logos is one person. It is not Rhema and Logos, as your many preachers try to tell you. It is Rhema Logos. The Jews never separated. How in the world can you separate God from His Word? He said, I am the Word. I'm the visible manifestation of my essentiality in that area of wisdom. Now he said, Moses is different. And it's absolutely true that Moses was, and so was William Branham. Now, this is exactly the way of God with these prophets. Without a long dissertation, we can look at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and notice what he says over there. And this is fantastic. Of course, well, it is to all of us. He said, I, brethren, and I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. See, he never came that way. But I determined not to any among you save Christ and Him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of a man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, that you were getting the real Word, demonstrated by the fact that I came to you with signs and wonders, vindicating myself and vindicating God and vindicating His Word, that when I spoke, it was the Word. You say, man alive, can it be that definitive? That's, listen, there's where we're rocking the boat and going haywire right in this church. That's what I'm talking about. That's why the rest is missing. R-E-S-T, the peace is missing. You that are troubled, rest with us. What is the trouble? The trouble is my God who is right. Nobody wants to die taking a chance. Transfiguration, I mean transmigration of souls, whatever, a cycle coming back. What is it all about? It's all about New Jerusalem with the bride, the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and all the rest bringing their glory in, the wise inside, the foolish outside. And don't look down upon the foolish. The only reason there's any wise is because you're elected. Cut out of the pattern. Now Paul says here that your faith should not stand in the wisdom men, but in the power of God. Think of vindication. Think, was there ever a time that Brother Branham made a mistake? Was there ever a time he was wrong? The answer is no. And all it took was one time. How many times did Moses go down to Egypt, run back to the burning bush, and run down again? He didn't have to once he met with God in the burning bush. God was with him, vindicating Moses every step of the way. Notice what I read. I read many times in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, the very same thing. And Paul says concerning himself in chapter 15, verse 15, beginning, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Now he's putting it in writing. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now hold it. He tells you right here, he said, I'm writing this word which is of God. Now he said that you, the Gentiles are acceptable, the same as Israel, by the word, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost got to do with the word? He's in the word. Piling word upon word brings more and more rest. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ Jesus in these things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now he tells you right there, I had a ministry. My ministry was absolutely authenticated by God, and you, knowing it, have to believe the words that follow. And I read about that fine Catholic man, not a great theologian, an artist, a great humanitarian, and he said, what's a miracle all about? God using a 4x4 to club you between the eyes. Sit down, shut up, and listen. I got something to say. Oh, the Protestants go around and say, well, there's no more prophets. Hallelujah. And God sends a prophet on the scene with the 4x4 miracle. And they say, well, I remember the first time I heard of Brother Branham, I told you, it came in the paper. He was discerning, telling people diseases and things. My wife said, what about it? Well, I said, I didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I said, I don't know if I think anything of it. I said, I saw a man that could do that, and he was a spiritist. I never said Brother Brand's a spiritist. I didn't know I'd be seeing him within 1 week. Within 1 week, I knew he was a God. Turned my life right around, and I had to go back preaching. Oh, God, hell, who wants to forget it? You want to preach? You're nuttier than a fruitcake. Sickle, right down here. Where's Bob? Sickle Bob. You better be called, bud. I believe he is. I wouldn't fool with him, not for 5 minutes. I don't care where he came from. That's not the point. It's where he's going. Paul the Apostle. Absolutely vindicated by God. Another Moses. William Branham, vindicated by God. Another Moses. God doing in threes. So I can't take that. You don't have to take it. I'm happy you're not. Because only 8 people made the ark. He might shove me to one side. I'm not mean, I'm just very mean. I'm repulsive. No, you're getting my point. It's the only way I can get the point across. You can see it in its darkest colors, and yet its brightest illumination, to understand we have been built upon the solid rock. And what we're building will never be destroyed. The bride's womb, the mind is closed. That's why she's going in. All the way down to verse 21.
Doesn't matter. Now look at Moses. See? Look at Joshua. Again, hear the words of Paul in Galatians. Absolutely vindicated. Absolutely face to face with God. Now, what about Revelation 22, 18 and 19? Now, that's something written in the Bible. You just can't go by it and say, well, hey, you know, that's nice. And the book is closed. Nobody can add to the book and nobody is in that. Come on now. If you open this book here and you make a wrong interpretation, you get this Bible misdivided. You stand right with Cain. Because Cain said, concerning Cain, it says, you have offered well. You have offered rightly. But if you have misdivided and not divided correctly, hast thou not sinned? In other words, you take something out of context and put it out of place. And says, well, I believe that Bible cover to cover. There's nothing in there that isn't exactly right. But you make it exactly wrong by your revelation. What are you going to do? So, well, I tell you what. I believe God forgives that. Aha. Only in ignorance he winks. But when the truth comes out, like Brother Matt said, they know better. I indict this generation. You better believe something's happened. Now he said here, I testify to every man to hear the words of prophecy of the book. If any man shall add to these things, God will add the plagues. If any man take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written therein. Now listen, do you understand where that came from? That came from Revelation 22 and 10. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. When and if ever. And most people believe sometime the cracked gramophone record. But they don't take it to heart. Not our time. If it's our time, it'll come to me. Yeah. Read the theologians. You talk about throwing up vomit for the people. The theologians know how to do it. They're worse than the politicians. No politician can make a correct decision, but the theologians can go to this word and get the correct decisions and they turn it down. Which is worse, the preacher or the politician? I'd sooner answer as a politician than as a preacher. You better believe it, unless I know the truth. Now at the time of the opening of the book, it's at hand. What? The unjust, it's all over. For the filthy, it's over. For the righteous, it's over. For the holy, it's over. Time to go back to Eden and into immortality. At this time, Alpha and Omega comes on the scene. You're turned right back to the beginning, which is Ephesus, which is Eden. Now remember, under Edenic conditions, they sinned and lost. So don't expect some great, big, tremendous thing that you're going to enter into. Some fabulous aura that's going to surround you. No, it's where they went off trail by the word. Where Satan deceived. Where the beast, which was a part of nature, deceived. Nature is soon not going to deceive anybody. Nature's going to turn on man, and man will burn as the sun boils down upon his skin, and blisters begin to form, and he'll curse God as his face turns black. Now, where is God in nature? Yeah. Where's the sweet breezes and the philosophies? Now, if you think I'm mean as a serpent, you could be right. I'm preaching the judgments of God from a vindicated prophet. So it doesn't matter what Lee Vale is or who he is or how he says it. It's still the truth. I may account to God for being raunchy. And I got it coming. But I won't account to God for the truth. Because truth is truth. Nor blessed are they that wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. And enter through the gates into the city. And that's 1,000 years down the road. Okay. So, you cannot add or take from this word until the mysteries of Revelation 10 and 4 are produced under Revelation 22 and 10. You can't add or subtract.
Because there's nothing there you can add or subtract from because you don't know it. But when you know it, that's a different story. Notice Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to these things unto the churches. In other words, it's face to face again because he says, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And I don't care if John was merely a scribe. I do not care if that man only heard a prophet tell him these things. I know it was the voice of Jesus, the same one in Revelation 1 and 12, that is now speaking here in 1:16. So there was absolutely a confrontation. Now this did not make him a prophet because there was a prophet there telling him, which was making him a scribe. Writing it down. And it's for the end time. Now, there is a prophet, however, at the end time, because the mysteries have to be revealed, and it has to be. The only one that can do it is the one that opened the book, Jesus himself, and he's the one that gives the answers. Now, let's watch for our principle. It is signs vindicated to the prophet, making him vindicated to us, so he has the ability to speak. He has the ability to give the word of God to the elect, and the elect have the privilege to know it is the truth that has come to them and has been revealed. Thus, and this is the principle, there is no prophet without a correction or direction message. There is no prophet without a correction or direction message. Whether it be short or long, it is incumbent upon him to acknowledge he has something from the Lord for the people. Several may come in a row, a short time apart, they may come a long time apart. Now, these true prophets are unique. They cannot help themselves. They bring the word as to Jeremiah and Moses because it is in their mouth, the same as in Paul, and they cannot change it. And they have such perfect recall, they could give you word by word, and Brother Branham said, I was different from all the others because I could tell it exactly as it was. He let you know he had perfect recall in the things of Almighty God. Now we must watch the other prophets that are not the word prophets as we know them. There are two kinds. There's a true fivefold ministry prophet and there are false prophets. The true fivefold prophet does not have any vindication which must precede or follow the word. He doesn't need any and he doesn't have any. If you go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, you'll understand what I'm saying. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 36-37, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, if this man is a fivefold minister prophet, he will absolutely, he cannot help himself, he will recognize a true word prophet because he knows there must be vindication of that man before he even opens his mouth. If he's a fivefold minister, he will never, never, never get away from that word because he cannot. There is no way he can do it. Now, you see here, he will believe and teach the same word as God's word prophet does or has. He can and will have signs following the word if he is faithful, but saying only what the prophet has said. We've got a few minutes to go. You can flip the tape on there if you want. We better bring out the other knack and niche and hook it up to one that instantly flips. Give an instant change. All right. What about the false prophet? Now we're talking about a fivefold true one. He's just a fivefold, but they're false prophets. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, you will find that man recorded. Now, It says in verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God. Well, let's read the whole thing. If there rise among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and give it thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So thou shalt put evil away from thee in the midst of thee. And then so on, right on down the line. Now, what are we looking at? The word has already been 100% fully delivered by Moses, as God gave it to Moses. Therefore, anybody with any sign or wonder after the vindication of the word, which is to be, which word now follows, that person is false if he says anything contrary to what has already been said by the prophet. That's what you're looking at in the preachers. The prophets around the country. This fella from Mississippi that plays that guitar, the pick 8 inches long, and he's got Europe wowed. He's perfecting the bride with an 8-inch pick. I wouldn't let him get near me. He could do a good arena out nose on his job with 8-inch pick, but the guitar sounds stupid. You know how that guy got where he got? He went to Hancock's church there in Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm going to phone the guy again like I phoned him a long time ago. And I said, brother, I hear you got a man down there who's going to your church. And he comes in and lays a prophecy before the people. And you people are listening. I said, don't you know you're contrary to the word of God that the prophet set forth? That man has to come to church with an assemblage of people around him, his peers, and his prophecy must be judged and then it's brought to the church. And he said, but Brother Baird, you don't understand. I said, but I do understand. So I wrote the book for Brother Branham. We talked about these things all over his tapes. I want to ask you a question if you don't think I understand it. What is your question? I said, my question is this. Does this man bring his own prophecy to church personally after he's got it? He said, yes. Then I said, he can come to church. And then prophesy. He said, but you don't understand. I said, but I do. Now, my brother, listen. When you get in trouble and your people, you will be judged before God because you're not listening to the word. Oh, do they hate me? Let me read the letter someday, which I will shortly. Oh, yeah. They're threatening, you know, because I'm blaspheming. Let me tell you, that man and that preacher, if he believes the same, are deceived by the devil and they have no part in the kingdom of God, they are false. Now, if that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost, you prove it, because I've given you the Scripture. I don't care what you produce. And you'll produce the name of Jesus Christ. And you can love God. And you can worship. And you can give your body to be burned. And everything you got. And you'll still go to hell. See, because you don't believe vindication. You say you do, but you don't. There's a fear in the world. But the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. How can there be a spirit of fear in a vindicated word? The only fear I've got is I won't stand up at the end time to really give them both barrels. That's the truth. I'm not proud of myself for 1 minute, for my language or anything else. But give me, let God annihilate me. Let me even suffer, no matter what it is, if I cannot stand up. Because where are you going to go? See? There is no way he can be on the scene, that is this false prophet, unless and until there's been a true word prophet first. Now he is just like Judas. He will leave the word, yet have signs following, and then teach a false doctrine. There is your Matthew 24. And your 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the son of perdition ministry, which is Judas, the son of perdition, comes on the scene at the same time as the Son of Man. And the son of perdition ministry, which is all over Pentecost, the Protestants and the Catholics, and throughout the whole world, that son of perdition ministry could not break until William Branham came on the scene in 1946 and took a gift of healing and opened the seals in 1963. It's flourished. And now everything is tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healings, this and that. And they'll raise the dead. And they will take the world into the great tribulation with them. So the son of perdition ministry came at the same time the son of man, because there's always twins. That's the law of parallelism of Scripture. And both true and false, now listen, both true and false will point to God and His Word, but they're off the Word. This is evident as we read Matthew 7:15-23. Many will come in that day, the false prophets, having done signs and wonders, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. It is the same as in Matthew 24:25, which we read, the same false anointed ones. It's the same as what took place in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and it tells you here, he called his 12 disciples and gave them power to cast against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of disease, raise all, and sickness, all manner of disease. And they went out and they did it. At that particular time, you will notice that those who were called on the carpet of the 13, Jesus was the 13th, you understand. Number one, but 13. 12 disciples. Only Jesus was called on the carpet. The rest weren't. So you're going to find those people that are off the Word, practicing these ministries, which they're entitled to in the sense that they're there. They will be looked up to. And that's the son of perdition spirit and ministry. But at the same time, they'll crucify themselves as son of God afresh. They will come against the prophet because they have no time and place for him. Thus we see our principle, which we've been looking at. And that is, it's just as important. In fact, in this hour, it is more important that you know how God brings His Word and communicates to His people according to the Scripture than it is for you to know the Scripture itself, because in most cases, you already knew the Scripture, but you didn't know it in its true meaning in Revelation. Now remember, the Bible promises you two things at the end time. Number one, it promises Elijah to return, which is not Elijah from the dead, which is the spirit Elijah, same as was in John. Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, and coming back again to the Jews, and one in between, where the resurrection, even Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, He said, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three within the 3 days in the heart of the earth. And remember, Jonah was a prophet who went down to a Gentile people. And amongst the Gentiles there was wrought a repentance which brought them back to God from whence they had fallen. And Jesus does the same thing by the Spirit in the end time. And so at the very end time we have not only a prophet that is to come on the scene, but we also have the promise of the Spirit in Ephesians 1:17. The Spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him must come on the scene to bring us enlightenment. That is exactly what Elijah does. And when that is done, the resurrection sets in. It tells you that. And when the resurrection sets in and the dead come upon this earth, then we are changed. And we are caught up with together with them to Him in the clouds to crown him King of kings and Lord of lords, where he truly is truly glorified in us. And at that particular time, there will be the great wedding supper. And this is the fulfillment of the word at this hour. Now, I preached this sermon in two sections. I made it long, maybe laborious, but it's full as I can make it. It's what the prophet taught, and is what is true. And we're resting upon that word. And let me tell you this, and I'm going to say this for those who have had misfortune in their lives, and we ourselves have entertained people who have had misfortune, that the preacher will try to tell you that he's ordained to see you through, and he twists that word, because unless he's a true fivefold minister, he will no more see you through than nothing. And the word ordained means that he is commanded to see you through. So therefore, if he takes you any place but the word as the prophet gave it, that man is a liar. That man is a murderer. That man is a soul stealer. And you better separate yourself. If you've got one doubt in your heart that you ought to be effusive and everything else about a condition, what you might call love, you better realize that the same one who is going to say to those same men, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, is here right now in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire to lead us to the millennium, and those men will not be in the millennium. You say, Dave, you've got something against preachers? You're hooting, tooting, right I am. I say the same with William Branham. If you just want to get in a real mess, get yourself surrounded by a bunch of preachers. Or people think they're preachers. That's worse. Not if it's worse, but it's just as bad. So you have it laid out before you. Everything that is called the Word of God today, and is called by many, many types of people, isms and cults, Confucian, Taoism, Buddhism, all those various isms, is not the Word of God unless it comes in the way that God brings His Word. That's the first thing. You zero in on how did the Mormons get their message? They haven't got a clue. I don't care how much the Mormons talk about God or anything else. Makes no difference in my books. They've left the word. They've added. We'll say, Brother Vale, you should have compassion because they're nice people. Just a minute. Let's get this flat. Are you God or is God God? And if you're not God, shut up. You don't have a thought coming. Now listen, this is tough. But this is the battle that Brother Branham spoke of. The greatest battle of the universe right now is going on in the minds. Can you settle in to the way of death? To your own thinking? And just stand back and lose all admiration of the great free-thinking world who think you've been brainwashed. Well, I hope my brain hasn't been washed. And if it hasn't, I want God to do it. Oh, I'll be happy. Happy, 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 as you never saw anybody happy. Not even a toad in a puddle with all the flies he ever dreamed of. Just had to stick his out. Or the kid turned loose in a candy shop with ice cream thrown in on top. Just let him wash my mind. Let him brainwash me. Let him take every thought of mine and fill it with his thoughts. So every gesture might be his gesture in human flesh. I'm not ashamed to be brainwashed and have a brain set. These birds out here don't know how unset my mind is. It can flip from flop to fluke to this, just like yours. Oh, to have a mind zeroed in like Paul's and Brother Branham. for the goal that's set before us. Immortality. Oh, they've talked of years. It could be a million years. It's not a million years. Israel's back in the homeland. Communism is nothing anymore, like the prophet said. And they're believing that he is here. And that's the message. Now you say it's not over? Now you tell me the prophet didn't tell us the truth? When he spoke of foreknowledge, election, predestination, when he said, if your bride, you are and always were a part of God. How many understand seed? The first hard argument I got after the church age book came out was this one fellow, and he was actually a mental case, it didn't matter. Oh man, he got red in the face arguing about seed. He said, you become. Does an apple seed become an apple seed, or is it an apple seed? Does a dog become a dog, or is it a dog because it's a dog seed? You always were seed, if you are. Not something God looked down the road and said, I'm going to choose this and choose that. The choosing was in Christ Jesus before the foundation. There wasn't a speck of stardust. You're in a life stream called God, who is life. And sure, in his thoughts. If you weren't, you're in somebody else, and there wasn't somebody else to be in. It was only after the beast came on the scene. Place for a soul, but didn't have one. When he said, one day you'll realize you always were saved. No, the book's 100% right. In fact, that book was written, and that dissertation written after many days of talking with Brother Branham, 11 days to be exact, number of hours I can't tell you. And when I preached the sermon, next day he wasn't at the sermon, but he hugged me, grabbed me his arms, and he said, Doc, you might have thought you preached some sermons in your days, but that was your masterpiece. Now, there's a God in heaven, this Bible open to you. I'm not lying to you. Now, you may look me in the eye and call me a liar. I'm going to meet you for pretty quick. You're going to eat it. I'm telling you what seed is. But you're too humble to believe it. You know what your humility is? It's the pride of the devil. Because he's telling you you aren't. And you're happy to believe him. These are tough things. But you know something? There's no rest for you and me until we believe them. You quit looking at yourself. When you look in the Word, you don't see yourself, you see God. The image that comes back in this hour must be the image of Christ. Not the image of somebody else. So I trust we don't have any more trouble from this time on. We will have maybe to a degree, but I don't think it's necessary. To realize that, hey, don't just even look at this as though it is the Word of God until you know the way God brought it so it really is the Word of God. The message for this hour, the opening of the seals. Brother Branham said, we have everything to put us into the rapture. What a blessed hope. Let's rise. I'm not sorry to take in your time. I'm sorry to take my own time because it's very exhausting. But thank you anyway. The Lord bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday or whatever time we get together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your grace and mercy to us this lovely day that you've given to us this special Sunday.
this first of the week commemorating your resurrection. And your people here, Lord, for one reason only, and that's to hear the word. They sure didn't come to hear me. I know that for a fact. I wouldn't even do it myself. I'd sooner stay home, sleep in if I could sleep, or do something else. I know that. But Lord, for the word that is able to make us completely wise unto salvation, completely sanctified by the truth, the life in the word, the Holy Spirit, using that as a conduit, as the prophet said, piling word upon word, the seed lying in the sun, nurtured by God, will come into a state of ripeness, which ripeness we know, Lord, is even greater than we actually are looking at and realizing, for the chaff has broken from the wheat and will continue to break as the bride understands more and more and confesses, I and my Father are one. Because the prophet said so. And he said it because you told him to say it. Because he was vindicated, we know he couldn't say otherwise. Such a unique day in which we live, Lord. And we're grateful for it. Lord, we're not nearly as grateful as we should be. And I don't know, Lord, if we're supposed to wait until the resurrection and the change to get the full impact. I really believe that there is a greater impact that we could have even now. But it would be by your permission and by your grace that we could have it. To just be so completely sold on what we know to be the truth, even from what we dwelt on this morning. The Lord God, surely, there isn't one of us who should sink when walking on the boisterous sea of light. But as Brother Branham said, we've got a ship with stabilizers on it, going to crest every wave. Lord, we are absolutely, each one of us, invincible by the presence and the authority that lies in your word by the Spirit of God in our midst. Cleanse us, Lord, from every sin of unbelief, so that there is not one word that we hesitate about, not one we reject or not one we take, but Lord, look at it as that bread of life sent down from heaven this hour, spiritual food in due season, happy and glad for everything, rejoicing, not that we understand every single thing he said, but we understand that you gave him the right. It's your word that he brought. And here now we're hearing from that one from heaven, ready for New Jerusalem, even ready for the end time which is burning, which by your grace we don't have a part of, nor do we rejoice that others have it. But we do rejoice in this fact, that you said when all these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. So Father, we cannot do anything but what you said. And by your grace, with the right and proper spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, we would do that very thing, Lord, in this hour. Thank you for healing the sick amongst us. We believe, Lord, that there are people absolutely healed. I don't understand, but you do. It's your grace and your goodness that does it. And how it is that we in our souls can just, in our hearts and minds, just believe it and leave it with you. Stand there with it. Sanctify every child, every adult, Lord. What is ever necessary, Father, we believe is right in this word, the message of the hour. Help us to receive every word unto the aspect of the fullness of growth. That as the prophet said, we can come into the full stature where God is in control of that person. And we're looking for it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God, be all honor, power, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.